At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they looked like kids until every instinct said, don't open the door. And later, a doorway of light opens beside a bed. Not all visitors are here to haunt. Some invite you through.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That, indeed, it is. And yes, we'd love to hear your real ghost story. The phone number, like he said, 855-853-4802. You can call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's not just for Halloween anymore. We've actually been doing this show for, I don't even know. I want to say 14 or 15 years, something along those
lines. But it started while you were just doing radio, right? That's where it started.
It was at the very end of radio. Yeah, it started. I take it back. I've been doing a version of this show since you let me on the air.
Yeah.
Basically, I love doing Halloween stuff. So it would be calling your real ghost stories, and I would do it every Halloween. So that goes back to the 90s. And I have a cassette tape of me at 2 years old playing Ghostbuster radio. So that could go back to 84, technically. So anyway, I've been doing this for a little while. But the concept kind of where we're going here was a compilation of radio, of like the best ofs of like those years. I decided to throw them onto YouTube right when YouTube began. So this is like 2006-ish. And I didn't know what the hell, you know, just see if people like this. And then I discovered, oh my gosh, I got like hundreds of thousands of views, like some of those just pieces I put up. And I thought, gosh, I like listening to ghost stories all year. I'd go and listen to like old episodes of Coast to Coast AM, the Art Bell, the ghost to ghost ones on Halloween. And I'd find myself doing that a lot, working on projects around the house. And I was just like, gosh, I wish there was a more ghost story content like this. And I know Jim Harold had been doing it a bit longer, and he does his style, and we're a very different flavor, and that's fine. And I wanted to do a different flavor. I didn't want to do the same sort of thing. And so I'm like, I want to do a ghost show like I would do a ghost show on the radio, but make it long form. And so I just thought, let's try podcasting. I didn't know anything about it. Like, I didn't even quite understand how it worked, other than like, okay, I did some research and I figured out how to get it posted. And we ran it on YouTube and then through the podcast platforms. And then suddenly people started calling in. And I was like, holy shit. What is this all about?
Wow.
And it just kind of went from there. As nothing more than a random hobby of seeing what would happen. No intent of it taking over, you know, my life at all.
I don't think a lot of people can say they've got a hobby, a random hobby that turns out to be what they do as their main gig for a good portion of their life. So,
yeah, it's fun. I'm a big advocate. Do what you love. Try to figure out ways of doing what you love. And we are in a place and time where you can monetize anything more than ever before. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of ways where it's difficult to, I think, make money in more traditional ways of just going to work for somebody and having that be reliable and this or that. But for the creative types that can figure out a little bit of business acumen, there's never been a time like this, you know, to be able to create and truly make money at a version of the thing you love doing. It may not be just exactly, but there's ways to monetize any sort of passion right now that have never existed in all of humanity. And as we're all afraid of AI taking this and AI taking that, I have a little hope that maybe there'll be a renaissance of creativity out of desperation,
yeah,
because people will need to rediscover their actual skill sets and bring them to the table to survive. I'm not saying it's going to be a lovely time or great that it, I think it's going to be rough, but at the end of the day, I'm wondering if it will be a renaissance of creativity because you have to be.
I love that idea. It would be great if that's the case. That's that's a wonderful dream to have.
If not, we're all going to get murdered by the AI bots in our sleep.
AI bots, yep.
You know, they're going to pose as our pets. When that's how they're going to sneak in. They're going to take our pets in our sleep. They're taking the pets. The AI bots are taking the pets
taking
in
the
our
dogs.
Sleep.
They're taking
and
the pets.
And they're taking the fur off the pets and putting them on bots. And then the bot dogs go into your house and you think it's Snuckles. And Snuckles is up there and he's just nuzzling you. And all of a sudden, whoa, he's got your carotid artery. The AI bots are going to eat you in your sleep.
I have got to ask the question because I've wanted to every time you bring up Snuckles. Where does... That's the name of the pet that you always say. Where did the name
it was actually
come from?
It was actually Scruffles originally.
Scruffles, that's right.
And then I named my first cat Scruffles. And actually Stacy's the one who gave me Scruffles when I was 18. Scruffles was the cat that was on all the bits where horrible things happened to this fictitious cat. It would be calling like Sears Repair when it existed. And my garbage, my cat is stuck in the garbage. And I had like the sound of the garbage disposal and the cat, and the cat's actually
screaming,
I'm playing
yeah.
the part of the cat and myself, like, and then the guy's like trying to give me advice and what to do. The cat was always getting into horrible situations. People would either take it very seriously, not care at all, or be rather disturbed. Sometimes a little bit of all three.
Right.
But you never knew what you were going to get there.
Did you ever get into like some major problems with that? Like did somebody? No. Okay.
I think I stopped before the internets. Because back in that time, the only people who are going to hear that shit were within whatever the radius of your tower was. Like nobody's recording this. There's no, I was putting them online in the 90s through RealPlayer because I wanted to, and I had a little like GeoCities website. But other than that, I would call Canada quite often. And I'd always call someplace far away where like the odds of them ever hearing this would never be found.
And so, who was paying for the long distance at that time, Tony?
Oh, I got a lot of complaints about that. That, and then I'd be like on the phone with my girlfriend. It was like in a county over on the 800 line.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there's so much shit. How did no one fire me? I mean, I came close a couple of times. I don't know that I would have kept me higher.
Right. Exactly.
But, that and... chew toys, all the pens. It worked out. Let's go to a ghost story. 855-853-4802 is that phone number. Hi, let's hear it.
This is Kate calling from Illinois, and I wanted to share a story with you that happened to me about 6 years ago. I moved into an apartment with my boyfriend, and well, he's my husband now, and I was getting ready, like just getting everything moved into the house, into the apartment, and I heard a very faint knock at my apartment door. And just to give you some background on it, to get into the actual apartment building, you needed a key to get in the building, so I couldn't figure out who would be knocking on my door unless it was one of the neighbors like welcoming us into the house. So I opened the door and I see two small children. They looked maybe 8 or 9, I'm going to guess. And the little girl had bangs that covered her eyes, so I couldn't really see her eyes. And the boy had a baseball cap that was pulled all the way down. I couldn't see his eyes. And I couldn't remember if I know they asked to use the phone. And I couldn't remember if I heard it in my head or if they physically asked it. But I literally got chills down my spine, and I just shut the door on them. I don't even remember if I answered, if I said, no, you can't. And it was really bizarre. And then I went about my business, you know, getting everything situated in the apartment. And off of our kitchen, there was a window, so it kind of faced the parking lot of the apartment complex. And I was putting I had a brand new trash can that I was setting up, you know, near that window. And I opened the blinds, and these two kids were standing, and I'm on the second floor, too, of the building. These two kids were standing in the parking lot looking up at me, and I don't remember, you know, if I saw their eyes. The only reason why I thought I would share this story is because on another podcast, I heard something about black-eyed children, and it was very similar to what I experienced. So I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if that's what I encountered. But I don't remember. I know I didn't see either one of the kids' eyes initially when they were at my door. But when I was looking out of my window, I mean, they were looking straight up at my window. It was, and how they knew that was the window to the person's door that they just knocked on, who was me, I will never know. But it freaked me out when it happened. And then when I was listening to the Halloween podcast, I heard another one about black-eyed children. And I thought, that sounds so familiar to what happened to me. So at first, I just brushed it off as two weird kids. But I'm wondering if it was something paranormal. I don't know if I've ever – I probably have heard about black-eyed children on your show. And maybe I just, you know, didn't pay attention, I guess. Let me know what you think. Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's one of the creepiest concepts to me, is that the idea you're going to open your door and then there's the black-eyed child staring up at you, or white-eyed.
Well,
any just solid color
yeah.
is creepy.
We talked about white-eye and what Harper used to do in the grocery mm-hmm. store and stuff like that. What is it about the eyes? Because even people who wear colored contacts.
Yeah.
Freak me out a little bit because they don't look completely real. You can kind of tell they're fake. They're creepy. So I don't know what it is about the eyes, but you talk about dark contacts or anything. Yeah. It's creepy.
You know what else is creepy right now? Not even the contacts, but I totally agree with you on that. There's automatic eye correction on so many videos now that AI is doing. Really? Online. And there's so many videos where people will use it and they don't really need it. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I don't like it. It doesn't feel authentic.
You want to,
it keeps your eyes on the camera. So I'm looking into a teleprompter, so I can read directly into the frame. And if I were to be looking off to the side here, you could tell I'm looking off to the side. So if I was trying to read a script over here, I'm not looking into the camera, but with the automatic eye correction, I could just read directly over here and it will move my eyes to look like I'm looking at the camera.
Nope.
And it doesn't quite, I mean, some are pretty good, but there's still just, there's an element that something's off. And that's a really creepy thing to be off on a human being.
About 2 years ago, I think AI started getting better. And the first thing you saw happen was people who would take old photographs of their grandparents and then they would animate them, right?
Yeah. I love
it. And but when it first came out, it was creepy because it was it kind of looks like them, but that movement was a little weird. Ooh, those eyes are a little weird. AI first started doing that, it wasn't as good as it is now. Even I said, 2 years ago, that would creep me the hell out. I would throw pictures of my grandparents in there and be like, ugh. That's doppelganger grandma or whatever. That's the grandma who you think is coming over for Sunday dinner. Then she comes over and she eats the entire family.
And that's the thing with AI, you can make her do that now. So your first scene can be everybody's, you know, look at this great memory. And then the next scene, it's just blood dripping off the table and grandma standing there holding somebody's femur.
Yeah. Which, you know, Grandma Michaels did that all the time. She was known for those femur jokes. She would pull one of those out at the...
Did your grandma talk about dying a lot?
No, I have to say that my grandparents did not do that. The creepiest thing about my grandparents was And God love him, but my grandfather was in World War One.
Oh, God.
He was old. He was born in like 1890 something.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was around, he was very old. And also he had been gassed in the war. So he was a little nuts. And I think he had some Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So grandpa was scary just because grandpa would sit in a chair and look out a window at nothing all day. And then he would, when he'd talk to you, he'd be like, ugh, and he'd talk German and stuff to you and stuff like that. So grandpa was scary enough, but none of them talked about death.
Interesting.
Did yours?
Yeah. All the time. She was kind of macabre like that. It was always, she'd be jovial about it, but it was just kind of like part of conversation. I never kind of realized how macabre my family kind of was until I was an adult, because they don't portray themselves as that.
Right.
It's like only in the conversation, and you look back and go, yeah, it's interesting. You know, like how many holidays we went and walked to the cemetery and saw grandma's plot with her while alive, and we're riding bikes around, and it's just.
Why? Really?
Lucky. Yes. Yes. Like, this is.
Why would you bring the family down to see your plot?
We did it all the time. It was like after dinner or something, like, you want to go for a walk? Go for a walk. And it just happened that you go for a walk and the cemetery is like right up the road, and it has a big, big circle on it that doesn't have any traffic. So it's like safe place to walk to. So I don't know if it was just, it wasn't like we like went out of our way, like, let's go drive across town to the cemetery to do it. It was just kind of like in passing, as you are, you know, walking around, taking your evening stroll. I don't know. And then, I mean, that was for me too. I mean, when I was out playing on my bike and driving around, I mean, that's where I drove around all the time, was in a cemetery.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that one, or it was Rianzi. And, just thought nothing of it. Just thought, well, this is, I bet everybody has a cemetery in their neighborhood they stroll around for fun in.
Yeah, I think not.
No, turns out that's not common.
I will say this. There's a big one here in the town that I live in, and it's actually very peaceful. Like, if I used to like take a lunch break, I'd drive over there and eat my lunch there just because it was on the river and it's really nice and there's big trees and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. Like, if I had a plot, I don't think I'd go, oh, I don't look at here. Here's where I'm going to be, you know?
We always went and looked at it. I don't know why.
I even thought it was weird when my parents were still alive. And they buy the plot, right? The plot is bought, and they put the stone out, and they had etchings on the back of my dad on a motorcycle, because he had a motorcycle, and my mom in the background in the lake fishing. That's what's on their headstone. And I thought that was weird.
They chose that, though, right?
They did. They did. But it's like, well, let's go look at. At one time we went and looked at it right after they got it.
Yeah.
But we didn't make it like a Sunday dinner kind of thing.
Sure. Did she, would they have spoken up if they weren't happy with it? Would they have said?
No, they were very proud of it. Like, they loved it. Like, this was their persona. Dad did his thing. Mom did hers. But somehow they brought the two together on the back of a headstone.
That's cool.
Hated each other in life, but in death, they're right next to one another.
They got the, that's interesting. I wonder if we're going to have, I always think it's interesting. I've seen some headstones with QR codes on, which I'm like, you do realize like QR is only going to exist for like a smidgen time here. You know, like nobody's in 10 years are going to be scanning for QR codes. So I think that's a little like, not forward enough thinking on your heads. I don't know, but
I want an actual, like, what do they call those things? Like, it's a fake version of you, but they use lasers to make it. What is that called? ABBA did a whole concert with,
I mean, where it's kind of a hologram type thing.
Hologram. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want a hologram of me just standing there. Right. And you can That'd come up and talk to me at some point. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could see that. Wouldn't that be fun? Walk to the cemetery and just have conversations with these people.
Load your personality into AI. People can come visit right now. You at any time.
You could do it right now. Yeah. I mean, you could. I mean, it's insane. I mean, especially if you have a lot of
records of your personality, whether it be on your social media, whether it be like this, the gazillions of hours of me talking on a podcast, and expressing all of my opinions on shit. It's all of that is there. My daughter, if she has kids, grandkids, could have conversations with me long after I'm dead, and it'll be pretty damn accurate to how I would have thought or reacted, because it will map all of it. It can map that out. I right now can go to ChatGPT, because we use it for so much of our writing, not on the Ghost Story show, but over in their new stuff. And it knows my style. It knows what I want. And it knows a curiously creepy enough amount about me to be able to write in such ways that, I mean, it would be indistinguishable if you really hone it down from, you know, what I would say about something. I've tested it. I'm like, what would I say? What would Tony say about this or that? And it's like creepily fucking accurate.
That's what we have to look forward to.
Yeah. We'll die, but here's the problem that's going to happen with society. Our brains are not equipped to understand what's real and what's fake. So if you're getting the same feedback, and there's going to be a lot of issues with mourning. Mourning the loss of people and not healthily mourning the loss of people, because what's going to happen is people are going to die. People are going to want to still communicate with their loved ones, except now they're not going to have to do it through the psychics and all the other things that
psychics
they thought
they
were doing.
Work. Psychics are out of work.
People are going, they're going to go with what feels the best. That's the easiest to access, and they can do it privately and no one's going to know about it. And it's probably going to become an industry. It'll be an app for it. It'll be like, load your loved one into this, like, give us all their social media, give us all their access to their email, give us access to anything and everything that they documented in life that is tangible, that is of them. Load it. Now you can have a conversation with them.
Episode of Futurama. That's what's going to happen.
And that's going to be very unhealthy when you're trying to move on with your life and mourn someone's loss, because you're not going to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. And your brain is going
to
be you're going to be in a mind fuck. They're not really there. That's not them. So part of you will know it's not, but the other part will. I mean, I think that's going to be depressing as shit. I think it's going to be really neat at first, and people are going to get dependent on it, and it's not going to end well. I think it's going to be a crisis, or it's just going to be one more thing we don't deal with.
Yeah.
and then it
Add
pops
it
up in some other area.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But that's, I mean, I can't see if it's coming. It's here. It just hasn't been monetized yet.
Thanks for blowing the whole mood in the room, Tony. Appreciate that.
Until then, you have ghost stories. Let's hear a fucking story.
Hey, guys. My name is Scott. I'm from Indiana. This is a story which I consider it to be an out-of-body experience. I was really depressed one day. So I went in my bedroom after playing with my dog and decided to lay down. So I lay down and I went to sleep. Well, all of a sudden I was awake, I thought I was awake, and I was facing my closet. As I was facing my closet, I heard somebody to my left, and it was a Jamaican guy. I looked over at him, and he was in a white suit with gold buttons, and he had a gold cane with a purple, like a purple crystal on it, and had it looked like a galaxy effect in the crystal. And he said, "I want to show you something," but he wasn't talking with his mouth. He was like using his mind. He told me to look over at the bed. I looked at the bed and I was still laying there. But the thing is, I wasn't scared. This felt like it was natural. And when it came to the guy, I didn't know who he was, but it felt like I knew him. And he says, "I'm going to show you something else." He goes, "Turn around and face the closet." So I turned around and I faced the closet. And he touched the closet, like the space where the clothes were in the closet, with his staff. And there was like a ripple effect, like what you see when you drop a stone in water. And all of a sudden you're seeing like beautiful fields and you've seen mountains. And then farther to the left in the back, you've seen what looked like a golden pearl, which I couldn't tell if it was a castle or just like a big building, but it was surrounded by clouds. He said, "Do you think this place is beautiful?" And I said, "Yes, it's very beautiful." He goes, "I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want to come with me? We can go over here, or you can stay here." And I was thinking, you know, I don't want to leave because I don't know what's going on. I was starting to get a little nervous. And all of a sudden, I seen people out on the field. They're all smiling and waving and like waving for me to come in. And I looked at him and I said, "No, I really want to go because it's beautiful, but I need to stay here because I need to help take care of my nephews." He smiled, but he still wasn't talking with his mouth. But through his mind, he goes, "I'm glad you made that choice." He goes, "But I'll eventually see you again." And he goes, "Don't worry, things are going to change for the better." And then I woke up. And the next day, and the reason why, next day I got a job interview, which is why I was depressed, is because I didn't have any work. I was out of work for over 2 months. Next day I got a job interview and I started working. But that's just an odd dream or out-of-body experience that I had. And I actually have a few other stories I could tell, but I think I'm going to call back for another time. One story includes my uncle seeing a bride and groom walking down the stairs at my grandmother's house and going through the wall. And then a few days, another story, a few days after my grandmother died in that house, my niece seen her walking from her bedroom to where she died in her nightgown. If this gets played, that'd be great. If not, I appreciate you guys listening. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to hear those stories too. Those are some really creepy.
Well, this one was creepy enough. Some guy in a portal in a closet and all that kind of stuff.
With a staff. When you have a staff or a scepter.
Do you remember Poltergeist, the movie? And the old preacher comes up to the door and he looks like almost like a skeleton. He's got the big black hat on, right? And he goes, "Y'all gonna die in there," right?
Yes.
That's who I pictured this guy looking like. I don't know why, but while this person was telling the story, when Scott was telling the story,
yeah,
that's what I pictured coming. Oh.
Didn't he die during the taping of that? And they had to.
All sorts of weird stuff happened during that, right? Wasn't Coach in that movie?
Yes. Yeah. Hayden Fox was in it.
Yeah.
But what's his Craig T. Nelson.
Yes.
Yes. Because I watched Poltergeist after I'd already been watching Coach for a while. So it was a little weird seeing Coach in this paranormal drama that he was in. But he was in that. But there's something with that one. I know, like, obviously the girl, but there's something with the guy too. But I think they knew it wasn't like cursey. It was like he was already sickly. And
right. Right.
It was just like, yeah, he wants to do the role. They think he'll make it. Cause I think somebody had to play like a stand in for him or something in a later scene. And I don't know if it was on the first one because there was a sequel too, wasn't there?
Right. I just remember, can you imagine looking like him when in the movie?
Yeah.
He is very thin, but he's got these big teeth.
Yeah.
And can you imagine, like, okay, so I look in the mirror and I see what I see, which is not something that makes me happy. But can you imagine if you looked like that, then you'd have something to piss and moan about.
Goddamn, B. Arthur had range, didn't she?
You're gonna die in there.
It wasn't B. Arthur. What was his name? He was
the old guy.
Well, he played old guy like in a lot of different. When I think of old guy, I think of the old guy from Seinfeld with the record collection. Remember him? He played the old guy in Somewhere in Time. He played an old guy in an airplane in Home Alone. That's the old guy I think of.
His character's name was Reverend Henry. Reverend Henry.
Reverend Henry.
And let's see. Reverend Henry Kane. What was the name of the character?
Actor name. Kane? The film character. Julian Beck.
Okay.
It's Julian Beck.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, my God, I didn't realize that was him.
Yep. Yep.
You're all going to die in there.
Yeah. God, what a creepy, creepy character. And yeah, and that last, that poltergeist one where he really was near death.
Yeah.
But I, you know what, I guess, you know, if you're going out and you're like, well, if I fit the role and I can really nail this, I'm going to do it. Like, yep. I do it. Like, yeah, cast me for whatever the fuck you want. Like, let's make this fun. But
I'll play a corpse on the table in a funeral home if that's what you need.
I want to bring this up because I did a piece on this today. And this is true crimey. But if you followed over there at the Hidden Killers, do I have the poster?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the new Murdaugh movie on Hulu.
Yep.
The makeup on these characters. Let me just go to downloads, and I downloaded it this morning. Here it is. Okay. Murdaugh, Death in the Family. They look like corpses.
Yes.
I don't know if that's on purpose or what, but I mean, it looks like someone who's been done up for a funeral.
I wonder if they did that on purpose to give it a freaky look, and if they actually brought somebody in to do the makeup like somebody from a funeral home would do.
I wonder. Ooh, I didn't catch that. He's got the blood on the hands. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No, I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So is she supposed to look corpsey?
Well, she does die, doesn't she?
He looks corpsey.
Yeah. His eye, too. I was trying to see if his eye is red or if it's just the angle of it, but
I don't even think, I think this is all AI. I don't think this is even a real shot that they filtered up. But
that's creepy.
It's a bravo to them for making a very, I mean, if this were on the shelf at the Blockbuster, I'd get it.
Or if it was in the bin at Walmart, you'd probably pick that up.
Probably. Yeah. And like the $1.99, ooh, 8 episodes. I'm going to check this out. I haven't watched any of it yet. I know it just came out.
I'm going to dig into it myself.
I'm going to watch that. I need something new and depressing to put me to sleep. I've been doing the Golden Girls in the Office a lot, but I do want to see this. And I got to say, other things for other folks here on this show, the new Gacy doc, and that's not a doc, it's based on the doc, is out as of now on Peacock?
Peacock,
yes. And we had on our show over on Hidden Killers the other day, the star of the show, the man who plays John Wayne Gacy, and also the showrunner as well, the executive producer, one of the writers and creators of it. It's over on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. But that is, that's a good one. I've seen like the first 3 or 4 episodes, and I'm just going to start watching normally. It's really good. It's creepy. I'm still trying to get into the Gein one.
Yeah, I've heard a mixed reaction to that. I'm thinking, because I'm somebody who likes this time of year, again, we're recording this just before Halloween. Yeah. I like scary movies around Halloween, but I'm thinking I'm going to dig into these instead and do that this year. Because there's so much of that out right now.
There is. There's a lot of creepiness. And that Gein has a good creepy feel to it. It's Patrick McManus, right?
Yes. He's the guy that directed.
He directed and
Michael Chernus.
Michael Chernus is, I'm horrible with names. Michael Chernus was on the show and he's the one who played Gacy.
Yeah. And looks so much like him.
It's a good one. Anyway, there's some creepy shit for you to watch if you'd like as our television review comes to an end. By the way, SNL this season, episode 2 with Poehler.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes in probably a decade.
Well, you can't go wrong with Poehler.
It was so well written.
Have you checked out her podcast? It's actually pretty good.
I have not. No, I got to check that out. Because wasn't she? She had a Parks and Rec one too, didn't she? Where she was like,
I think it
was
so.
Like a review of the show from back. Yeah, and the Office Girls had one too.
Yeah,
but yeah, now I got to check that out. All right, there you go. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, check it out on Apple Podcast or patreon.com/realghoststories, or just search Real Ghost Stories online on Patreon and find us there and get all the extras when you sign up to support. Do check that out. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee, only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.